Hello everybody, let me set up this short recording. Got some new information to tell, and it's kind of hard to tell. You know, as you can hear, I'm riding my motorcycle, my Gilera Fuoco 500, a three-wheeler. Very safe motorcycle. That's after flying through the air and sliding on the floor several times with a regular two-wheeler. Occasionally, when I had enough of that, I decided to buy this bike. And I'm very satisfied with it, but that's not the subject of this recording. What I want to tell you is something that has to do with religions. I mean, when did I start having an interest in religions? I mean, specifically when I went into in-depth studies of religions, that was about 10 years ago. I'm now 28. I remember when I had my Torah exams at school, I sat under a tree in a park, started learning the Torah. Then I became more and more interested in it. I went into Kabbalah, the secret of letters, all kinds of stuff. Later on, I discovered Christianity, and it's all good and well, you know, for some people. God, in His magnificence, created a religion for every kind of people. And we have to honor and respect each one of them. But what I want to say right now, which is something new, is that after doing all that, and you know, when I put my efforts into something, I go all the way. So, when I mean in-depth study, you can trust me that it was an in-depth study, right? And again, other people may think differently. I'm not talking to other kinds of people. I'm talking to my kind of people. What's so new about this way of life, method, and approach that I began discovering in my life is that, you know, I asked God to bless me and to make me like a Messiah, to make me like a Neo from the Matrix. I wanted to be somebody special. I believed in the influence of supernatural miracles, mind over matter, stuff like that. So, of course, what I did was, well, some of what I did, what I'm about to specify, was wrong for most people. And I don't recommend it at all, and there's no need to repeat it, what I did. But, you know, there was a couple of times in my life when I sniffed glue. And it's a very dangerous drug addiction to sniff glue. Unfortunately, it's most predominant in Russia. You got these kids sniffing glue in all types of abandoned houses in Russia. So I don't know, maybe I got that from them. But I did my glue sniffing in Israel. So I did it at like age 8 or 9, I don't remember exactly. Never mind how much time, I don't remember anymore. It wipes out a great deal of memory. Anyway, some of the experience I went through I wrote in the book. But it gives you hallucinations, it gives you an alternate state of reality in which you can communicate with I don't know what, hopefully only God. But you know, there's a good side and a bad side to everything, so when you overdo it, it becomes bad and evil, and it can hurt you. And then I was when I was a kid, my mother beat me up with a belt, and then one of her her friend's husband, who was a sportsman, she asked him for help, and you know, he threatened me in a good way to do sports and to quit all this nonsense that I was doing, the vodka drinking, the smoking, the glue sniffing, unconscious or out of conscious, subconscious. You know, it was a very horrible time. But then at the age of 21, well, of course, first of all, I did all the sports that I could do to quit these addictions, and I quit. And I even became a very good runner, a very good sportsman, and all that. But then, at the age of 21, for some reason, I decided to try it again. I was, like I said, deeply religious, in the spiritual side of God, deeply interested in the spiritual world, influential forces, powers, anything that I could accomplish that was out of this world, out of the normal perception of this world. So after dedicating myself to religion and stuff, of course, by the age of 21, I also smoked a lot of weed and hash that I don't recommend anybody to do as well. I had this kind of like suicidal religious mania in which I spoke to God directly through the years and told him, like, life isn't worth it for me if I'm just gonna be like everybody else, work the same old stupid jobs. And you know, I had these heartbreaks from these girlfriends that I wanted to marry, that I loved, and from the first one I wanted to marry, and every time they broke my heart, and I turned to God and cried to God a lot and asked and said, why did this happen, and so on. I guess it was just not meant to be with the previous girlfriends. Thankfully, right now I'm engaged, and I love my wife very much, and we're about to have a child. Blessed is the Lord God Almighty. So, I went through all these emotional, I had a lot of emotions, and I had a really good, immature and innocent heart that was broken many times over, till I started to become more tough, to toughen myself up against these heartbreaks, these emotional pains and disappointments that I went through. So I began to toughen up, not believe everything, not believe everyone, a lot of stuff. Well, during that process, by the age of 21, I began, like I said, sniffing glue again. I had something to say to God. I wanted to see God. I wanted to see other worlds, other realms. So that's what I did. And again, like I said, if I invest in something, I go all out in it. So again, the altered state already at a much more mature age. I mean, I did it so bad, but for a few months. Never mind again the amounts and this, the horrible, almost unconscious states that I went through. I actually lost consciousness a couple of times for a short while. So all of this led to conclusions. I was during the process of writing my first book. At the same time, I wrote all kinds of things that I can't even remember or recreate. under glue, under the influences of weed, all of this, but somehow I decided the first book should be unknown, deleted, so I burned it, also in a direct communication with God, searching for a woman to love. I didn't find. So I said, okay, God, well, you're almighty, you can do anything, right? That's what religions told me, that you can do anything, you have all the powers in the world, so please make a miracle for me. I mean, let's go hand in hand, I want to talk to you, I want to ask something and receive it. But then again, I received disappointments and disappointments, so I burned my book out of this disappointment. Then a few years later, I began writing the second book, which you will get to read, listen to, and experience. And of course, during all that time, awful states of exhaustion, I still did sports to the best of my ability, and as you can see me demonstrate, the best of my ability was better than most people, even under all these influences. I don't know what records I could have achieved if I was just a normal guy living a healthy life, not smoking, not drinking, not doing drugs, you know. But that's the story of my stupid youth, childhood, whatever it was. I was a little bit you may say crazy in those times. It took God a lot of work on me to make me into a logical, sane and normal person. A lot of books reading, a lot of prayers, a lot of dedication, a lot of thinking and writing my thoughts and improving my thoughts, eventually to become a free thinker. So, okay, I went out of all these troubles that I forced upon myself, and okay, now I'm fresh and refreshed, back on the go, after so many times of being on the verge of death, on the verge of collapse, and regenerated and regrouped my strength again and again, and even improved. That's a miracle of God in itself. Okay, so then I returned to these religions because I thought they were the answer, they were the key, and if I don't practice the religions, it means I'm an evil person or something like that. And I didn't want to be an evil person. So I went on to better things and a better life. Then we're slowly getting to the point I'm trying to make, which is that when I asked of God, you know, to give me all these special, good life experiences and, you know, to become a blessing to the world, I wanted to improve the situation in the world, I wanted to solve the world's problems, I wanted to become a messenger of God, to fix the wrongs of this world. By the end of this spiritual process of revelation and the realization of my potential, then now, you know, after again trusting the same religions, the same Judaism and Christianity, however how much I love them and I believed in them, and when I believe in something I really go full out and, you know, trust whatever it is I'm believing and hoping for the best, hoping for God's help because I'm a good religious boy. So when that, I didn't see the manifestment, the fruition of all this faith. So what I came to realize is that I created this sort of new religion through all my writings. Then, you know, I was so humble, I thought, nah, this couldn't be. God couldn't have really blessed me to become the new religion of the new world. I mean, I'm just a simple human being. That couldn't have been true. What? Turns out that it is. Turns out it is the truth. So, I don't know if religions help you people or not. I'm referring to the people that their religions they learned didn't help them. Like I said once, if you're praying to God and it doesn't help, then maybe you're praying to the wrong God. Maybe you should consider that you've been praying to the wrong God all these years. Maybe God has moved on from the religions of the past. And so I came to realize that all these miracles and all this revelations that God knew that I would do in this country, which is the reason why he brought me here, so that I would mature and discover all these things, I began more and more realizing that reading my own book, hearing my own recordings, and thinking my own thoughts, and living my own way of life, reinforces me and strengthens me, at least in this world, in the here and now. Of course, Jesus is the King of Heaven. Of course, we're all under His grace and blessing and help and salvation. But I mean, in the here and now, it just doesn't help enough. So I'm referring to the people that feel the same way I do. People that it doesn't help enough as much as they expected it would help. All these past religions. Of course, I studied Hinduism and Buddhism a little bit, and a little bit of Islam also. But you know, none of them, you know, touch that point of the true one-on-one honest relationship with God that you can feel and be amazed because of. Really, the divine help, the divine protection, the divine wisdom and all these things, they're just not there. They're just not in all these religions. And I sacrificed my own life to God many times. And you know, I studied these religions, I tried to do all their practices, I read so much, and now that I think it was all empty. It was all empty. And you know, one of the references that I can give you is in Shema Israel. It's a famous Jewish prayer "Listen, Israel," or "Hear me, Israel," in which it says that God is one, and then it goes on to say that if you pray or bow down to false gods, God will make the rain stop. And the rain is a metaphor for, you know, the blessings you're supposed to have in life, financial, majorly, you know, like, that's specifically a metaphor for the rain and the fruitfulness of the earth. Of course, in past times, it was the actual fruitfulness of the earth that they prayed for, and because that's what they were mostly dependent on, and they couldn't have lived without. So they had to have God bless them in the fields of the crop, the food, the water, and of course protection from enemies and stuff like that. Well, in our days, since we are given all these things, it's more a metaphor for your financial prosperity, your health, your well-being, the success you want to have in life, in your job, in your relationships, whatever. In all the other fields of the modern life. So, it was like a sign for me from the past religion, which was once true, but doesn't help much in the modern world. Which is why I understood that God created me to create the religion of the modern world. Of course, under the instruction, blessing, and guidance of Jesus. That's the will of Jesus. That's the will of God Himself. Because, you know, God has a few more tricks up His sleeve, and He doesn't want to make life boring for you to pray to these old religions and, you know, settle for that and become this really stiff religious person who damns everybody to hell if they don't follow the same religious practices that you follow. It's just sort of like not there anymore. The conviction of these religions is not working anymore. That's what I'm trying to say. So, I think that's why God made me to do this giant multimedia project, so that the people of the new world can follow it and do it. Because, you know, sometimes I really speak things that I don't understand myself. I write things that I couldn't have written in that age. Some supernatural understandings and realizations, which were much more in the first book. So much more that I was even smarter then. Like 6, 7, 8 years ago, I was smarter, spiritually smarter, like could have enlightenment and realizations beyond my age and power to understand, because I was open to them so much. And I was more innocent and pure and believing. And maybe my own belief created this. So, still is. This book still is amazing. But it's like the least of God that you can have, and the maximum at the same time, in this world. I really have a good heart. I really intend to help humanity and the world. I really want to be a messenger of God and a helper to God, and I really took upon myself this giant project because the world is really possessed by the devil, and I want to free the people of the devil. I want to free the people of evilness. And then I began to realize that, you know, I wrote all these steps and guides and these things that you need to do in that way of life that I envisioned and followed through it at the time. But then I thought, like, nah, I probably just invented all of this out of my own brain, and it couldn't be real. Because I was so humble that, you know, it would have been prideful of me to be like, yeah, that's who I am. I'm a Messiah. I'm a chosen man of God to save the world. You know, it sounds so incredible. But what I probably am is a seed of Jesus's genetics, because what I went through in life was so much similar in a metaphorical sense to what Jesus went through, and in the same country too, that I understand Jesus perfectly. I feel what he felt. I went through what he went through. Of course, God had mercy on me and didn't hurt me as much as it hurt Jesus, because that was his way of showing that he's willing to sacrifice himself and claim the spot of the King of Heaven, the Son of God, and all these things. I understand. But, you know, in the 3 or some years that Jesus preached, it was so little. I mean, the realizations and understandings are so great, spectacular, couldn't have been written by a simple human being. By any human being, it was unnatural, supernatural. Of course he's the Son of God. Of course he loves humanity and has the best heart, the greatest, the kindest heart in the world. But it was so little relatively to what he would have done if you people didn't kill him. If you people didn't kill Jesus, we would already be in salvation. He would have taught you how to perform miracles, how to pray to God and get answered, how to receive all the blessings in your life that you wanted. He came to save the world. He came on this mission. He didn't come here to die. That was the choice of humanity to do to him, because humanity had the evil heart to do that to him. So we went to plan B, which is, okay, he sacrificed himself for the forgiveness of all our sins. Now we are forgiven. Okay, now you are forgiven, but you're the same egoistic people. You didn't change your heart on the inside. Of course, you're protected and blessed and under the grace and mercy of God because of Jesus. We all are. Those who believe in him. But whatever Jesus didn't finish doing, whatever he could have done, you know, I tried my best to fulfill, accomplish, and finish. So I wouldn't call my method and way of life a religion of, you know, just like religions are. I would call them, you know, something that you have in your life instead of religions, that actually brings you good results. Of course, religions, I was very influenced by them. They give you good moral principles, belief, and all that. But, you know, we have to be practical in this life. If you want to be practical, you would have to see a direct improvement in your life to practice some actions that would give you a direct improvement in your life, that would enlighten your mind and purify your heart and soul and free you from the possession of the devil. Like Jesus said, the truth shall set you free, right? So all I did was try to reveal the truth and understand the truth, and I understood that human nature is evil. If you go down deep in its core, it's evil. And it needs correctment. It needs salvation. But it wouldn't correct itself like in a miraculous way. That's something that God left to us to do, and it is achievable. Most people are just not willing to put in the efforts to achieve. But it's not like the method wasn't there, wasn't possible. Many people achieved greatness in the method of ISWL, Information, Sport, Work, and Love Actions. and achieved a level of mastery at least in one of those fields, some more, and different people to different levels. So that's what I'm talking about. Like I said, I'm not going to repeat the whole principles of the ISWL, which is the external comparison to the person's inner being, the heart, soul, mind and body, the fulfillment for those vessels, what they need. It's a method of self-perfection. So basically, without trying to convince you again why ISWL is good, you can try and do some and realize by yourselves. I just want to say that, you know, if you want, you can call this the new world religion or the new way method or way of life. All of that, you know, I don't have practices like, you know, say this prayer or do this thing that's, you know, in the physical sense doesn't seem to make any sense, but you do it because the religion tells you and expect a miracle and stuff like that. I'm more practical, physical, to the point, just maximizing and manifesting your human potential in these four levels of the mind, heart, soul and body, by these four letter actions: information, sport, work and love. So, you know, if you want religious practices of the new kind, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, well, actually, besides, I'm not going to go into altruistic actions, how much and how many can any person do. Of course, all of you have to gain financial independence, because that's what God wants you to do and to achieve, and that's what any person wants to achieve. But you achieve it for a good purpose, for good purposes, so that you can be helpful, so that you can raise your family peacefully and create a better generation, a better generation than before. And if each person does the best he can, we will all together correct the world, correct and solve the problems of the world. So then I came to realize, like, if all these religions actually don't really help me, like, in the here and now, of course, eternally, they are helpful. That's why you should humble yourself before Jesus. Because you cannot be any greater than Him. Never mind who you are, what you did, and how much you try. But in terms of practices, the only practices my religion or method or way of life or system of self-perfection, self-realization, potential manifestment, the only practices this requires, besides altruistic actions, which every person can choose how much of them to do, the daily practices, the simple daily practices, have to do with sports. And you know, if you learn from the great Asian nations who came up with this, all of these ideas, the meditations, the various Tai Chi, Pum Se, and various forms of, I don't know, yoga, and all these things, these physical practices, in order to get spiritual enlightenment. Then when I quit all of those practices, even the basic sports I used to do, because I believed in, you know, its so-called superiority over everything else, to become the best physical, the finest physical specimen in the world, you know. But each person has their own limits of capabilities, and most people, never mind how much you try, will never be better than the champion of the world in every sports. So then if you're not the champion, you consider yourself, you're not the best, or you didn't do your best, or you're not built as well as other people, or whatever the reason is. But that can discourage you. But instead of it, realize that that's your new religious practice. That's like the only thing you need to do. Of course, you need to read the book and have it strengthen you every day, and join in groups and do altruistic actions together to help save the planet, which is on the verge of disaster. But you know, to get practical, physical, on a daily basis, to do something that you can achieve, feel, and be proud of yourself, and feel better about yourself every day, is these simple actions of sports. But if you do them with an intention that you're doing this to become a better human being, to become more stable, to become more harmonious, and to get in touch with your physical animalistic nature more and more, to strengthen yourself up, of course it produces better health, better thoughts, better self-control, a better image of yourself, and stuff like that. But if you consider it like a religious practice, like a devoted religious practice, like I told you the Asian people do, I mean, every movement of their hand, they feel the energy flowing. When they close their eyes and join their hands together and meditate, they get the ascension, they get the feeling of God. So you should learn from these people, because they are really, you know, spiritually enlightened people in an animalistic sense. Imagine like if a cat or a dog or any animal could have talked and think like a human being and would have taught you, because they have a much deeper connection with God and a feeling of God. Could have taught you how to get that same feeling. It would have been through these physical activities, meditation, concentration, or out of focus concentration. All these various sorts of things that the Asian people already discovered long ago. So, of course, each one of them has their own method and style, but I suggest a combination of the best of every style would make an even better one combined. So that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you should at least do sports. You should be a more motivated person if you will do sports. And you know, all of your life will improve if just as a religious practice, you wake up every morning and any free time you have, you continue the practices of the parkour, acrobatics. I mean, not over the top, flipping like crazy, any direction acrobatics. I mean, just like I taught you, the basic front and back flip. You know, just to be in control of your body, of your jumps and of your landings, you know, some martial arts practices on the safe side, no need to beat each other to death, just in a positive and friendly way, the fitness exercises, and my ball game will be the new game of the world, it will be the best game in the world. So, So far, that's my advice to you. You know, I could go on and on and tell you more and more things about myself and stuff. But, you know, we'll do it one recording at a time.